Voice of Freedom Beings, broadcasting from Pod Bay, a million miles above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with regenerative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Celsius to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh yeah, I feel it.
I feel it.
Bad touch, bad touch. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa, the Duck Empress, and Jeremy, the owner slash master of Murder Dog.
That's me.
And we're supposed to have a guest on here, but he's having some technical difficulties right now, and it's Michael from Free Aid, and we'll be talking to him just as soon as we get him sorted out. But anyway, so what's going on in the world with you two? What's the excitement?
Well, the weather's been fun up here as usual. Dropped down to 20. Yes, dropped down to 20 yesterday. Back now, I just walked outside t-shirt. I'm like, that's weird. love the New York weather. It changes constantly.
Yeah, there's a meme that I saw. It's the two of the hobbits from the Lord of the Rings movie, and it says, you know, well, we've had first winter, but now we have to have second winter, and that's basically how it's going, because this morning it was just like snowing like crazy. It was about, I don't know, 4 to 6 inches on the ground when I went outside, and then I had to time travel. Hey, this is Lou from the Freedom Fiends,
we've been dealing with
some technical difficulties, and I am joined by Mike from Free Aid. How are you doing, Mike?
Good evening, Lou. Hello, Freedom Fiends out there.
So, welcome to whatever can go wrong, will go wrong.
That's why I said teaching hospice, again. Right?
Yeah, the teaching hospice. That's exactly what it is here. So, where are we going to get started? I guess what we need to do is we need to find out a little bit about Free Aid, because I don't know how many of the people out there have heard about it. So if you could give us a little overview of what Free Aid is for those that are unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, definitely. So, Free Aid.
Excuse me one second. But because this is a teaching hospice, if you guys could hit the buff dumps on your Fiend phone, because I just readjusted the input levels.
Yep.
So, and then go ahead and continue after you do that, Mike.
Excellent. So, yes, Free Aid. Free Aid is essentially it's a charitable and medical organization that supports volunteers that do first aid at Liberty and Bitcoin events, as well as health and wellness education, and basic CPR AED training. Not with state certifications or AHA certifications like that, but just to teach the skills so that if an emergency were to happen and people know the skills, it's good for everyone around.
Okay, and how long has Free Aid been around, and how was it started?
So yeah, Free Aid was founded 5 years ago, and our first event was May 2011. We were at Free Keen Fest doing first aid there. It was founded by two individuals that actually live in the West Coast. We have volunteers that are scattered all over, really, and we get together for these particular events, essentially to give first aid coverage and medical coverage if there were to ever be an emergency. So, yeah, the reason why I'm on this evening to talk about our Paul Frontiero Memorial Wig campaign, which is our current campaign. We're looking for an individual now that finds himself in a medical hardship and could use a wig. Essentially, one of our volunteers has been growing hair for several years, myself, and through Free Aid, we would like to find an individual who is in need of the wig. We're going to be doing the fundraising to make it a true charitable effort.
Fiend phone.
And I'm back.
Fiend phone.
There's one.
Hi.
So. And Ginger Snaps is here, too. Wow.
I'm back. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we still have Michael from Free Aid?
No, you guys came back and kicked him out, so.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, no.
All right, Jeremy, what was Michael going to say about free aid?
Well, he was explaining what they were doing with the current project with the wig for it's named after his friend Paul, I believe, right?
Yeah, Frontier.
And I was just about to ask him the specifications, because I know I had read up on that, and that, you know, they said they were searching for the right person to give this to, but I didn't get a chance to ask him because he disappeared.
I think he's back.
Mike, are you there?
Looks like it. Oh, nope.
Nope, and he's gone.
Oh, this has been a fun night so far.
So, well, I mean, that's we are sharing a circuit with the NSA, so people are, you know, they're listening to us as the NSA is listening to them, and yeah, it's just a big, hairy, scary mess. So
it's crowded.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe the NSA does not want this story getting out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely it, because they have this thing about wigs. So yeah, they probably don't want it getting out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because voluntary charitable organizations and activities and things like that. Yeah, that just can't fly.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, the government can't have competition. That would be no good.
No, exactly. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible. It can't stand. It can't happen. And that's all there is to it.
Well, of course not. Because, you know, you do something like that, and then everybody might just realize how naked the emperor really is.
Hey, are we still on, or
I think we are
in commercial?
I don't know. I can't commercial. Even tell.
Freedom fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. RATS is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. RATS was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. RATS is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download RATS free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is Freedom Fiends. Yeah. I don't know what it is, Jeremy, but every time you and I are on together, there's always technical difficulties.
Like, I know, right?
Like your very first episode, your tryout episode, where I got just completely droned and booted off of radio. As a matter of fact, I think my laptop was even smoking from that one. And you had to take over the show, and you handled it like a real trooper. And that was your first episode and your second segment.
Yes.
So
it's a trial by fire. It's the way I like it.
Yes, trial by drone strike.
this is what happened. This will teach me to actually try to plan ahead and schedule to be on with people, because I scheduled this a month ago and I said, oh, look, there's Lou and Lisa. I'll get a chance to talk with those guys. I'm not going to do that anymore, because look what happens.
I get droned a lot lately. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
But the NSA is tracking all of us. This is how they're going to mess with us.
Yeah, something's going on. I don't know. I don't really care. I just want to stop.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, all right. Michael from Free Aid still isn't back. So we're going to go into some of the stories that we had planned.
Fiend phone.
Wait, is he back? I hear the fiend phone. Andy's sending me emails too. So anyway, Lisa, did you have an opportunity to talk a while back about the Carl's Jr. or Hardee's or whoever it was that was moving out of California?
We might have talked about it. I can't remember, but yeah, I believe it had to do with the minimum wage increase there. Is that what it was?
Yeah. No! Actually, it wasn't about the minimum wages.
It was
about the taxes. Yeah,
right.
They moved their headquarters to Florida or someplace else.
Well, I'm going to find out for you right now.
Well, that would make sense, because isn't that where a lot of the big name, like the big money people in California, end up moving to Florida? That was a big deal with Tiger. What, like, just individuals too, though? I think
actually, Carl's Jr. moved. They moved to California. to Nashville, it says.
Okay.
It's packing its bags, yeah. It's consolidating its offices with other restaurants.
Fiend phone.
And it is to save money because of high taxes.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, what's really interesting is out in California, they just had a increase to the state minimum wage. And I guess the governor, Jerry Brown, in his little signing statement or whatever, I guess he admitted that economically it's not a great thing, but politically and feelsy, it's good for politics and for the feels.
Yeah. Yep.
Would that be considered like reaching like the end times when they're just flat out admitting these things and people are just going, oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
it's really interesting that they can admit that it's not going to be a benefit, but it's going to make people feel better, and politically it's a good thing to do.
Well, yeah.
So
all the things we've like people like us have known for a while or just assume, now they're just coming out and say it. But like, I guess in California it makes sense. They're kind of used to. I mean, yeah. They've reelected Moonbeam how many times? I mean,
too many.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. With California, you have companies that are moving out of there because of the high tax rates. And interestingly enough, I saw an article not too long ago. It was an old article from the Los Angeles Times, I think it was, talking about, they wanted to reduce sugar beverage consumption. So what they wanted to do was put a tiny little tax on each serving or each bottle, can, whatever, of soda, in order to discourage people to do it. And they flat out said that taxing things like that discourages use. It encourages people to stop doing it. And yet they keep raising these income taxes and all these other taxes, and they don't think that it's going to have the same effect and discourage people against earning money and staying there, having a job, you know, all the stuff like that.
Yeah, well.
So. Right.
I actually saw people on a forum I'm a member of, and we were talking about the Carl's Jr. thing. And, you know, a lot of these people are young, and they have kind of, I guess, you know, socialist leanings. And they were saying, oh, you know, how dare them move? You know, I hope they leave customers. And I'm thinking, do any of you know anything about how to run a business? You know, have you ever, do you even work? I mean, do you even understand how businesses work and how they make decisions? You know, if it's...
Fiend phone.
And we'll be back right after this trip to the market and hear about the latest incident of the unintended or intended consequences of taxation. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Beans. We are back. Still here at the Teaching Hospice.
Yes.
we've lost Lou, but we got our guest Mike back temporarily. So
hello there.
Fiends.
While you're here, maybe we should try to get some more of your story out before the drones come back.
Yeah, let's do it. See,
I don't know how much of a I don't know how much I got out before. So I'm
you were just getting into the current project with the wig.
The wig campaign. I forget,
what's that?
Fiend phone.
Oh, now Lou's just going to ruin everything.
it may not.
Hey, what can I say? It's what I'm good at. So obviously, for the audience, we are having some technical difficulties with the satellites and all the stuff that goes along with communications and radio. And so, who do we have here? We have It's just me and Jeremy again, right?
I think it's just you and me now. So.
Okay, yeah, because Lisa just sent me a message that she got booted. It looks like Michael got booted again. So, alrighty. Well, anyway, let's go back to the story about how taxing people into prosperity is backfiring again. Yeah. This comes to us from the Chicago Tribune, and it says, Tepper's move may affect New Jersey budget, forecaster warns. The decision by billionaire hedge fund manager David Tepper to quit New Jersey for tax-friendly Florida could complicate estimates of how much tax money the struggling state will collect, the head of the legislature's nonpartisan research branch warned lawmakers. So they have people that are trying to figure out just exactly how much they're going to extort each year. Anyway, Tepper, 58, registered to vote in Florida in October, listing a Miami Beach condominium as his permanent address, and in December filed a court document declaring that he is now a resident of the state. On January 1st, he relocated from New Jersey to Florida, which is free of personal income and estate taxes. His move has state revenue officials on alert. We may be facing an unusual degree of income tax forecast risk, Frank Haynes, budget and finance officer with the Office of Legislative Services, told a Senate committee Tuesday in Trenton. New Jersey relies on personal income tax for about 40% of its revenue, and less than 1% of taxpayers contribute about a third of those collections. Less than 1% contribute a third of that budget that they're talking about. The 40% of the revenue, one third of that comes from less than 1%. So this whole idea that the 1% aren't paying their fair share, they're paying the bulk of it. But anyway, according to the Legislative Services Office, a 1% forecasting error in the income tax estimate can mean a $140 million gap. Being off by 1% could cost them $140 million. Tepper lived in New Jersey for more than two decades, initially as an executive at Goldman Sachs, where he helped run junk bond trading during the late 1980s and early 1990s, founded Appaloosa in 93, now has an estimated fortune of $10.6 billion, according to Bloomberg's Billionaires Index. New Jersey residents bear the country's third highest tax burden, according to the Tax Foundation in Washington. Along with the nation's highest property taxes, it's one of two states that levy both an estate tax on the deceased and an inheritance tax on their heirs.
Yep.
The income tax rate for top earners is 8.97%. Democratic legislators have repeatedly passed a millionaire's tax that would increase the levy to 10.75% because apparently not enough millionaires are leaving New Jersey. But Republican Governor Chris Christie has vetoed it each time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah, apparently the Fugitive Slave Act is still in force in New Jersey. And darn it, they're going to get theirs. Now, whenever I hear one of these politicians from New Jersey talk about, we got to get our tax money, I picture Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained saying, I got to get my cotton.
That is pretty bad. But this is just another example of something that's just like right in people's faces that they don't. Like, how do they not recognize that they're freaking out because one guy is trying to leave the state? Why are they making that big of a deal of it? Does it not click with people that, like, they are so desperate for your money that they will do anything to keep you in place?
Yeah, pretty much. Probably to the point of crippling people economically so much that they can't afford to leave.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. I've looked into that, you know, to see, because I don't plan on staying in the U.S. forever. And apparently they keep raising the fees or taxes or whatever, the extortion fees for you to leave the country. It keeps increasing.
Yeah, well, and the exit fee to leave, all the paperwork and stuff like that to renounce your citizenship and turn in your resignation, that's really not that much. I mean, if you're leaving for tax purposes, if you have the kind of money to where it benefits you to become tax cattle on a different tax farm, the amount of the fee isn't really that much. But like regular folks like you or me or Jeremy or, you know, and any of the fiends that are getting ready that would want to expatriate, yeah, that might be a nice little chunk of change. But for the folks that are doing it to, you know, seriously get away from the tax farm, it's not going to be that big of an impediment. I think it's only maybe how much is it, do you know?
They raised it to they raised it last year, right, Lisa?
I believe that's when it was. Yeah, it's pretty significant, and there are a lot.
I think it was over $2,500 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say it was close to $5,000, remembering correctly. It's a lot, and it's not only that; it's all the other hoops they make you jump through to do it. You know, and then of course they want to, if you retain your citizenship here and try to have dual citizenship, of course they'll tax you. You know, and if you give up your citizenship, apparently it's very hard to get it back if you can at all. So if you wanted to come back, you know, I believe that it's going to be very expensive if you can do it at all.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, I mean, like you said, Lou, for the people that have the money and are just looking to escape, yeah, money wise, it's not going to really hurt them. And of course, most of them probably aren't doing, well, they're probably not doing it on principle, because on principle, it's wrong regardless. Because, I mean, how can the same government that claims to, you know, have all these checks and balances and all this stuff that goes on.
Bounced checks and balances.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But poll taxes are supposed to be wrong. Okay, how is this just not another version of a poll? Like, everything they do, they tax you for literal. I mean, like you said, I mean, like Jersey, they tax you for dying and your kids for you dying. You know, they literally tax you for everything. So for those people, it's probably not a principal thing. But exactly what you said will happen is more people will continue to leave, the ones that can afford to, and the only thing government can think to do is raise the price of it to try to discourage it, as it's like some kind of vice tax. And all that'll do is just keep forcing more and more people to leave and make it completely impossible for people like us to ever afford to get out, you know, the quote-unquote legal way. And then it'll just be, you know, all of us suckers stuck here, and all the rich people will be on the other side going, yep, well, sorry.
Well, when it comes to a point to where you can't get out of here the legal way, then people are just going to have to take the Underground Railroad. I believe it was Harriet Tubman that said the road to freedom isn't always a legal one.
Absolutely.
Right. Jeremy, you were right. What?
Are you smoking, Jeremy?
What's that?
Are you smoking?
Yes. Not smoking, my vaping.
Okay, I thought you were getting off of nicotine completely.
I'm working on it, Lou. I'm still vaping. It's a process for
me. It sounds like you're working at it the same way that OJ went out to look for the real killer.
Oh. Hey! I still have time. If I finish it this year, I'll still be ahead of his schedule. So.
Okay, I don't say stuff like that when I get coffee in my mouth.
Hey, Jeremy, you were right. It actually is $2,300. I was
okay.
It was $415. I think that's where I got the 45 figure in my mind. But yeah, they raised it by 422%.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
a huge jump. Uh huh.
Which again, like, I mean, somebody like myself, if I really wanted to get out, could I scrape together that money? I could try, but it's just the fact that I have to pay just to leave. And yet you still have all these crazy people out there that will tell you that if you don't like it here, you're free to leave. They really don't know what the word free means in any capacity.
No, they really don't.
They get it wrong every single time.
Yep.
Well, actually,
they're on the desk.
Actually, they're absolutely clueless in the words that fall out of their mouth. The only reason that they have any particular order is out of habit, and the only reason that they fall out of their mouths in English is because they're Americans and they don't speak a second language. Seriously, the stuff that so many people say out there, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. You know, as an example, there's this Facebook group that I'm in, and it's loaded with a bunch of socialists and other lunatics, and they blame capitalism and free markets for everything else. You know, they blame the bank bailouts after the 2008 collapse on capitalism. Yeah, bailouts are part of capitalism and a free market. and the way that, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And the way that they try to say that all this stuff is part of capitalism and free markets is kind of like trying to explain feathers on a horse or a zebra or something like that. It just makes absolutely no sense what they're talking about. So
yeah, but yeah, to them it does make sense, which is sad. Because if you get a group of them together, they're all not along with one another. Like, it makes complete sense. It's like, okay, so it's a group of idiots. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, and there's a couple things that I'd like to actually address since we have some time and we can't keep our guest on here for more than 5 seconds. It's the use of language. For example, when people use phrases like big government or limited government or the word statism. So, when it comes to the word statism, you know, what is the actual word as you and I understand it? And the way that we use it is from the original definition of statism. So, Jeremy, Lisa, either one of you?
Well, the definition that I, as I understand it, is that any government having a significant amount of control.
Let's do this one and come back from the break.
Yeah.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Joined by Jeremy and Lisa. Hopefully they're still here because we are experiencing technical difficulties. Yeah. We could get droned at any second now. But anyway, so yeah, before we went to break, we were talking about squishy words and the lack of meaning that they have. And the question that I asked you, Jeremy, is how do you define statism? And please use the proper one, not the current one that the conservatives and that you'll find in the dictionary. Go by the original meaning of statism.
Yeah, the definition of statism is that the government having control over any part of the economy, just having any kind of type of control, having a government.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, even the modern definition that. In Miriam's that the conservatives try to go off of and claim that they're not statists, says that the concentration of economic controls in a highly centralized government. But what is not controlled by the government currently? What hasn't been controlled by the government? You know, like as soon as they got into controlling the military and everything else, they're controlling it. So there you go. It's always been statism. You can't get away from that.
Well, once you control the military and the cops, it's just a matter of time before you control everything else.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And that's the point. It's always been statism. And, you know, it's funny because I actually learned, you know, the first time I ever heard that word, I was still a statist and didn't realize it. And it's because I heard it from that crazy little guy, Mark Levin, who kept screaming it. And who, I got right behind him. The statists. All the statists. Yeah, hate the statists.
Who, by the way, is a hardcore statist himself. Now,
oh, absolutely.
The origins of the word statism go back to Marx and one of his other dirty commie friends, and they were discussing the best way to get from socialism to full-blown communism and all this other stuff. And Marx advocated using the state, and the other guy said, no, it has to be stateless. So essentially, the other guy, I can't remember who it was, called Marx a statist and you know, walked out pouting or whatever. But anyway, that's the actual origin of the word statism. And the dictionary definition and what the conservatives commonly refer to it as statism, and I saw this earlier tonight, is a significant amount of control over the lives or a significant amount of activity. Mm-hmm. And substantial. So the word substantial is very subjective, is very arbitrary, and is just as meaningless as the word conservative.
Right.
How much does it have to be before it's substantial? You know, a lot of people will say that anything outside of the Constitution is considered statism. Oh, okay. So because the Constitution puts no limits on taxation of how much can be taxed and what can be taxed, anything beyond that is statism, because it puts no limits on how high the national debt can be. You know, the $19 trillion that it's at right now, there's no constitutional limits preventing that. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with the debt ceiling, because the debt ceiling's not in there either. There is no debt ceiling under the magic parchment. So if they reach some magic point that has yet to be defined, that's substantial. No, it's already unlimited. It can't get any higher than unlimited, because those are the non-limits that the magic parchment puts on government. Now, the Constitution restrains and limits government the same way that get well cards cure cancer and other diseases. It doesn't. It's a big giant blueprint for a master Leviathan state. And that's all it is. So when they start talking about, oh, well, that's statist. No, this isn't statist. This is constitutional. No, it's all statist. It's all socialistic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I really like this definition. A statist is a man who believes that some men have the right to force, coerce, enslave, rob, and murder others. To be put into practice, this belief has to be implemented by the political doctrine that the government, the state, has the right to initiate the use of physical force against its citizens. That sums it up very well, I think.
So in other words, theft and violence.
Yes, that's the blunt truth right there.
Yeah, I always get this out of status. They say, well, if it was up to you libertarians, everybody would be robbing and killing each other. Well, theft and violence have never been parts of freedom. They've never been aspects of liberty. They've only been two things: enumerated powers and criminal acts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well. And we'll be right back after this trip to the market, the newsroom, and Jeremy is going to try to interview Michael from Free Aid. Lisa and I are going to disappear, and hopefully that's going to work. So first segment will be Michael and Jeremy, and hopefully we don't get called back in.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
Farms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We are back. The Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beach Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, we are back. This is Jeremy.
And Michael.
Yes, we have our guest Michael back. Hopefully, he's going to stick around this time. We bump Lou and Lisa for a little while, and hopefully, we can actually get somewhere.
Freed up some bandwidth.
It's as always, I blame government, so I'm sure they have something to do with it. But anyway, so since we got so horribly distracted the first time around, I figured we'll try to start over here. So Michael, if you don't mind, why don't you give us the brief overview of what Free Aid is and what it is you're doing and why we have you here.
Absolutely. All right, so Free Aid. Free Aid is a charitable mutual aid organization that dedicates itself to supporting liberty-loving, medically skilled individuals. Free Aid teaches health and wellness as well as CPR AED training through their Free Hearts program. You can find out more about Free Aid at freeaid.com. That's FR33AID.com.
Okay. All right. And So we had discussed kind of how you got started with this and where you're going, I mean, did you want to go over that anything and over that again, just in case you know, our listeners are very confused of what's going on. Go slowly, confusion.
So yeah, exactly. Like the little radio ad there, we're a group of individuals that volunteer our time when liberty events happen. With the medical skills that we have, we feel it's our little role in the community to look out for and, you know, the overall well-being of other individuals. Free Aid also, we operate in Bitcoin, 100%. Mm-hmm. All of our operations. We accept all types of, we'll accept FRNs, silver, copper, gold, trade, anything. But we operate with Bitcoin. We've done some charitable campaigns before where we raised $14,000 worth of Bitcoin in 2013 to help Philippine typhoon victims. And our latest campaign is the Paul Frontiero Memorial Wig Campaign. Paul Frontiero was a friend of mine who he sacrificed his life protecting others. He was an individual that I worked with, and through our work, we, you know, formed a relationship. We were both EMTs working in the city of Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, and basically, this is a wig campaign through Free Aid for a true charitable purpose. Some of these other wig charities like to charge the patients for the wigs, and that's not really what I think charity is all about.
Well, that doesn't seem very charitable at all, actually.
No. I guess the basic rundown of this campaign is we want to find a recipient. We will fundraise for the wig cost. I will cut off my hair. We'll send it to a wig maker. We'll have the wig created to certain specifications that's requested by the recipient. We'll deliver the wig, and we'll spread a message of a voluntary society.
Yeah, that's really great. It's funny, you had said earlier, you'd mentioned the donator of the hair, but that's you, actually.
Yes.
You are the one who's been growing your hair out, which is really great. I mean, I don't want to push you too far. You were telling the story about Paul, but I had read up on that, and apparently he's somebody who kept his hair a little longer on a more regular basis, and that was something you said you did to kind of honor him in the beginning, just growing it out, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I've always been a short hair individual. So especially working my job as an EMT, short hair, clean shaven all the time. So once I got out of that job, I thought that it was a little bit of a way for me to just give a memorial thing for him, something small that I could do. Sure. That reflected our personal relationship. I used to always rag on him for having, quote, hippie hair, which really, it wasn't even long. It didn't even go past his eyebrows. And now that I have hair past my shoulders, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, little ironic, but
yeah.
But no, I understand that. I mean, that's something. I mean, you know, some plenty of people do. You know, if you lose somebody close to you, and it's kind of a way to keep them with you, right?
Exactly.
But that's where most people usually stop. You, however, have taken it to a whole nother level, and now you've taken that, and now you want to do something, legitimately good with that, which I think is incredible. Now you had said that, you know, you're making this, you basically, you know, make it fit to wear, essentially, for whoever the recipient is. In reading up on this, I had noticed that, you know, you said you've been kind of searching for somebody for what, almost a year now, I guess, or nine months at least.
We published the first article. We announced the campaign last year at the beginning of Porkfest.
Okay.
And, I actually held off from the beginning. I was going to announce about a year ago now, and I waited until Porkfest to announce because I thought for some reason that people were going to be banging down our doors and that we were going to have to be turning some people away because so many people were going to be coming towards us looking to fill this void. It's actually been the complete opposite of the case. We've reached hundreds of people. So we've reached hundreds of people with the message of liberty, with our mission statement is helping each other advance a voluntary society. So I've been able to discuss ideas of liberty and freedom with individuals, as well as, you know, tying it into the whole charity thing. A lot of people think that charities have to be government funded. Not funded. They have to get the okay, the tip of the hat from the
government.
Approved,
I get you, yeah.
If you're not a 501c3, you're not legit. Mm-hmm. We abandoned our 501c3 application in 2013 and decided to go all Bitcoin because we have more ability to control our own future that way.
Sure.
Now, back onto the topic of the... I'm sorry, go
ahead. No, go ahead. You wanted to go back to the wig project, or?
Yeah. So it's been a year. I even reached out. So through that time, I've been posting updates on the website continuously every month or so. And the last one that really dove into and has more personal touch, I posted about a week ago, and the reason why I wanted to have that personal touch, because I was thinking that might be the push it needed to get it into, you know, the right hands or the right ears or someone able to tell a friend or a relative about our campaign.
Yeah. Now, you had said that... Actually, I think I had read that, you know, you obviously, you in your essay, you had reached out to... You've basically had to be seeking out people versus what you thought people would be coming to you. I think I also read that you had some, like, with the bigger organizations involved that you would have to go through. Like, people just don't even talk to you about this? Or is there, I mean, do you think people are just the fact that you're not a 501c3? Do you think that is what's keeping people away from you? Or is it just a complete lack of, not enough exposure?
After a while, I didn't get desperate per se, but I wanted to try to find new avenues to try and find a recipient. So I reached out to, I won't say the names, but larger organizations in Boston that deal with individuals in that field. There's a thing called HIPAA. It's a health insurance privacy thing. Because of that, they were not able to disclose. They weren't able to help us complete our mission because of a health insurance privacy act, essentially.
Oh, okay.
That,
so they couldn't.
They really didn't. We were not recognized by any sort of charity checker that they have online, which is a shame because in order for you to be recognized by these charity checkers, you have to have a 501c3 and have all these tax forms and all this stuff. So it's crazy because we really operate where all our funds are going out and helping people. Like, we're operating on a complete volunteer basis where our biggest asset is our volunteers because we're not paying people. It's all
It's just a vehicle for people to get together and help others.
I see. So then it is. So it is the fact that you don't have that. Which like you said, it is a shame and it's unfortunate because that goes kind of back to what we were talking about in the last hour when we unfortunately lost you for a while. Just the attitude in general that people are so conditioned that it has to be something government approved in order to be good, and if it's not, they're not even going to look at it. Because obviously, if it's the fact that you're not listed in these different places because you're not, government approved, then the average person won't even hear about you. And even if they do, if they go to look, it's like, well, they're not there. Kind of like what the Better Business Bureau, I guess, is supposed to be, where people are supposed to be able to go there and look and say, oh, they get a bad rating. But this is kind of stacking the deck against you, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a sad state of affairs when you have to rely on a supposed authority figure to tell you what's good and what's bad. We have a reputation in the Liberty community and in the Bitcoin community. So we do have, we're small enough where we're not manipulated by money. And on that note, we'll take it into a break.
Yes, we'll try to finish up. At least we finally got a full segment in.
Yes.
We'll shoot for two after this trip to the market.
Word.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And, because I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We still have our guest, Mike, here from Free Aid, before we went into the break, you were finishing up telling us about the Whig campaign in memory of your friend Paul.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, in closing, we, Free Aid, are in search for one individual who finds himself in a medical hardship that could use a Whig. And I guess I have blonde straight hair, so if that's preferential, if anyone out there in the inner tubes or on the radio waves happens to know an individual who fits this description, I would encourage you to go to our website, freeaid.com, FR33AID.com, and click the contact us tab, shoot us a short email, and We'll be in touch. We can get this mission accomplished. We can help you and complete our mission, and it'd be good for everybody around.
Yeah, we talked before the break about how you were having problems going through the usual channels, but I mean, I would believe that there's got to be at least one person out there, even just in our quote unquote our smaller circles. That would be in need of this. So somebody's got to be out there, and hopefully by you coming on and talking about it here, we'll get you closer to reaching that person. But that just, I mean, the whole thing just seems crazy to me that people wouldn't be, especially because there's so many people out there, unfortunately, that go through different cancers and stuff and end up losing their hair and or for whatever reason.
Yeah, precisely.
And especially with the insurance, you know, the insurance in this country going crazy and people losing their insurance and having harder and harder times just getting basic stuff done. You would think there'd be more people be willing to think outside the box.
And some of these wig organizations, I still can't get over the fact that they charge the patients for the wigs.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. That's pretty crazy. You would think that if anything, they would be collecting. I mean, don't think they collect those type of places collect monetary donations on top of the actual hair donations, do they not?
Exactly. And who knows what types of government write-offs they're getting on the back end too, because that's just how it goes, unfortunately. But that's why we need to create these alternative institutions to compete with what people think are the only legitimate sources of, whether it's charitable means or whether it's food freedom or like you guys are doing with the whole media thing. It's alternatives that we're building that are essentially going to do away with the state, create more freedom for us as individuals.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. It's something I preach all the time. That you know, I'm not somebody who's concerned or focused on trying to like smash the state. I'd rather help make it obsolete. And stuff like what your organization is doing is exactly that. You're trying to provide an alternative, and that's definitely needed, sorely needed, I would say, because too many people just run to the even people. You know, I'm sure there's other people out there kind of like you, maybe not as dedicated as you, but that would want to do, you know, have good intentions and want to do things, but they'll go and jump through the government hoops. And if they run into a roadblock, they'll just give up. They'll just say,
Sorry. That free aid does exist as a vehicle for people who might not even be necessarily fully medically skilled, but they may just be someone who can put on a Band-Aid or someone who can talk to another individual in a time of need. We have volunteers of all different types of medical levels, skill levels. So even if you're even if you're someone out there that may or may not be in the Liberty community and you would like to, if you think what Free Aid does is something good and you would like to join up with us, we have a volunteer tab at the website as well. You can reach out through us that way, link up with us. We can go to all types of events if that's what people are looking for, whether it's first aid type of stuff or the knowledge side of it, just spreading information or teaching these medical skills. We have a lot of different people, not even all necessarily medically skilled. We need people who do graphics. We need people who are good with social media. People just to help us out. We need people that are also
with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Oh,
This is Freedom Fiends. Hey, this is Lou, and I am back with Lisa, and we are joining our host, Jeremy. And so
I'll edit these two back in.
Yeah, and we want to thank Mike from Free Aid for coming on and telling us about the program, and particularly the WIG campaign. And for more information, you can go to Free Aid, that's FR33Aid.com, and check them out. And we'll put some web links in the show notes, so it'll make it a little bit easier to get there. But anyway, we were talking earlier how people are getting a little bit sick and tired of the double standards that go along with government, and how people are just really, really getting nauseated with it. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me a link today on Facebook. It's for the Mesa Police Foundation, and I was actually really shocked when I saw this. And this was put up on April 1st at 10:46 p.m. I imagine that's their time, and I don't know what time zone they're in, because they have their own little thing, I think, in Arizona. But anyway, the Mesa Police Association represents over 600 of the Mesa Police Department's finest men and women who serve their community. We support our members adamantly when we believe their actions are reasonable and justified. Our members love their community and risk their lives on a daily basis serving and protecting the public. Cough, cough. Well, I can't cough what I really wanted to say, but anyhow... The next paragraph. There was an officer-involved shooting in January that has been covered widely by the local and national media. You ever notice that they never call it a citizen-involved shooting? They always say, yeah, that guy shot somebody, but they use these little code words or code phrases. Yeah. There was an officer-involved shooting. On Tuesday, the official report of that incident was released. They investigated themselves and blah, blah, blah. Along with some crime scene photographs and recordings, we thought we would go over several of the facts of the incident with you. On January 18, 2016, Mr. Shaver was seen pointing what looked like a scoped assault rifle out of his hotel window. Guys, assault is a tactic, not a type of firearm. But anyway... they also mentioned that it was a silenced rifle a little bit later on in there. And apparently they wound up plugging the guy. It turns out that it was a pellet rifle or a silenced pellet rifle. I don't remember specifically. But the real important thing here is the comments. None of these are my Facebook friends. utterly disgusting. Every single person associated with the murder of this man, the subsequent attempt to slander him, and further attempts to discourage justice for Mr. Shaver should be fired, lose all pension and benefits, banned from ever working in any public service position again, and criminally prosecuted. You do not represent the interests of the citizenry, only your own, and you have abhorrently failed to uphold your oath. So that's a nice one. We also have... let's see. Numerous people saying release the body cam footage in all caps. So yes. That's not just dad spam, because not all of it's in all caps. Some other comments: Blue Lives Murder. There's some links to some local news about other things.
Yeah, I followed a few of those, and there are other incidences of allegations of abuse repeatedly by the same department.
Yeah, it's almost like Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Well, that's the one that they're always doing the cavity searches, right? Wasn't that Albuquerque?
They have done that.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, because I joked about Roswell and alien probes. I used to write about
too soon.
APD all the time, and I kind of joked. I was like, "What's going on over there? Like, a little too close to." There's like alien probing going on. I see some people link to the Cato Institute's policemisconduct.net site too in the comments on this.
Now, here's one that I found rather interesting, and I can't verify the authenticity of this guy's claims, but he is using the language that would be used, so I don't think it's unreasonable to believe what he's saying here. But it says, I've been in public safety for over 40 years, just short of 30 as a career, and since retiring, I'm still requested to respond to certain types of incidents, including mounted requests and serious highway incidents. So I get it about having to instantly size up a potentially dangerous situation while having a few facts to go on. I'm concerned with about your narrative. I understand that you want to convey that this incident wasn't some rogue Harry Callahan action. That's the Dirty Harry character from the Clint Eastwood movies. However, the construction of your message was provocative. It never pays to blame the victim. Basic PIO 101. The job of the POA is to ensure that all the facts are objectively presented in administrative and court proceedings and that an involved officer receives a fair and just judgment for what occurred. To go beyond that narrative invites criticism. It is fair to say that there are usually two sides to every story, and it's up to an objective determination of all of the facts for a fair conclusion to be drawn, or as we say, it is what it is. And while it's a fair general statement to remind the public that their choices of actions often precipitate the events that follow, I would also remind public safety officers what was hammered into me as a rookie back in the 70s, when the pressure is on, you have to ask yourself, am I thinking or am I just reacting? Nah, I can't see a cop actually saying that. Well, he is an old-timer, so quite possibly. Yeah. And before someone corrects me, yes, there are rare situations where there is no time to think, but in a preponderance of incidents, the size up of a situation and the risk assessment decision-making model doesn't stop until all risks and hazards are resolved. You can't take back the bullet once it leaves the chamber.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great comment.
Yeah, you said, I mean, you can't really speak to the validity of his particular case, but the sentiment is 100% dead on.
and of course, to this person's I consider a pretty well thought out statement. Of course, comment number one is bootlicker number one, saying, given the information that the officers had at the time of the incident, and in the subject ignoring commands, I'd say no one is asking for the bullet back. And let's see now. Another one says, that's why all the officers fired on the victim, because they had been fired upon. Isn't that right? Fired upon by what? A pellet rifle? Okay. Or so they say that they're fired upon.
Well, all the stories I've said, because I followed some of the other links to the videos, and then it took you back to a video from the previous video, and I didn't see anything about them being fired upon. He supposedly reached for his waistband after they had ordered him repeatedly to get down, because he was drunk, I guess, was the claim. It seems like there's an awful lot of people that are very fed up with this entire department, because like I said, there's a bunch of different stories. There's one that keeps coming up in the comments too, supposedly one of their own has actually admitted to the corruption in the department as a whole.
Hang on for a second. Let me do a correction. The second one that I was the second response that I was reading. Towards the end, it says, and just so we don't have the facts presented only from one side, maybe we should have the facts from the body cam as well. Is that okay with you? Referring to the first bootlicker, the apologist. Followed by, here, release the cam. And so-and-so, you D-bag, do us all a favor, take up basket weaving. that is where you're needed most. So,
I like this comment. Ooh. Go ahead. It says, mess of police, you have a murderer among you and you are defending him. You're pathetic. Free the footage. Justice for Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask for respect until you can tell the difference between good cops and badges with, oh God, I can't say that on the radio, with brown spots stuck to them. So, yeah. Yeah, read it all the way through before reading it on the radio. Yeah, right. So, oh my God, this looks like my friends list responding. I don't know any of these people. I'm about to double my number of Facebook friends just off of this post.
I mean, I was looking to see. I was like, I must know these people, but no, I don't recognize any of them.
Yeah, just even
promising.
Like, just opening up like the last 200 comments alone, there's like, you don't see anything positive. It's all anti the department and what they've done. So, but the question is though, what are these people going to do about it? Are they going to just complain about it, or are they just hoping for new parts to make the system better? I don't know.
Yeah, that is the really big problem with this, because you're just like we were talking about with all the stuff that, you know, goes on with people and their catchphrases and all their nonsense. People are going to call for more regulation. They're going to call for reform. They're going to say, you know what, these internal investigations aren't very good. We can't let the fox investigate his own antics in the hen house. We're going to have to bring in the coyote and the wolf to help with the investigation. Because, right. Because that's what happens when you go outside of the fox's agency. You have to call in the coyote and the wolf's agency. And people are going to call for reform. And I'm sorry, but American cops, the cops as we know them today, NYPD, LAPD, all these different places, all these cops, what you see out of these departments, all these police agencies, the cops have only existed in America as we know them today since about the mid-1800s, so like 1850s, something like that. What you see today is the result of a little over 150 years of police reforms. After all these years, after all these times of reforming the system and weeding out the bad apples, what you see today, that is the result of that. So what are you going to do? Reform it again? As Lawrence Reed says, the constant need for reform is proof that the state has got it wrong the first 50 times that they tried it. So it's time to quit reforming stuff. Reformers don't solve problems, they perpetuate them. Abolitionists solve problems. It's time to get rid of the government cops and replace them with 100% private security and protection. And the reason I say private and not funded by tax dollars, not controlled by any city council, is because when they have to go to their customers to receive their payment for their security and protection, the customer can say, you know what, you did a lousy job, I'm not keeping you on, you're fired.
Yep.
You know, people, I'm surprised that
people are responsive to the folks that sign their checks, the people that really sign their checks, not the ones that are alluded to pay their checks.
Well, sure, that's the lack of incentive is why they do. Well, it's pretty much why they do everything they do, because there's no competition. But yeah, I agree with you. Private's the way to go.
Yep. And we will be right back after this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Dodging drones.
Trying to.
So, yeah. Redemption in the third act. Let's hear some good news. Let's hear some warm and fuzzy happy stuff.
Well, I think I think people like our guest are the warm and fuzzy happy stuff we have to look for. I came across another story quickly just about people, you know, reaching out again and teaching, stepping away from the government schools, and more people are doing that. To me, that's happy news.
Yeah. Yep. He did talk about the wig project, and I'm growing my hair out for that purpose. So if somebody's looking for a dark brown with touches of gray wig, then I'll be happy to help them out down the road.
Oh, well, nice. That's awful nice of you, Lou. I could try to do that, but hair gets in my way, and it just makes me mad. I would love to be able to do something like that, but I shaved my head a long time ago because hair just bothers me in the summer.
Well, I finally got to a point to where I could put all up in a ponytail and get it out of my face and everything else. I was very happy because I knew it was really, really a pain in the butt.
I really don't want to hear it from either of you about hair, okay? I have a lot of hair.
Yeah, my hair is almost as long as yours.
Well... It's not.
It's exactly pretty close.
Oh, God, you guys are starting to morph into each other already. Oh, man. what has happened? Yeah, what has happened? I used to like you individually. I don't know if I'm going to like this morph version of you two.
It's a little right, scary, isn't
but
it?
Seriously. But no, I probably could do that. I should grow my hair out.
My daughter did it when she was like 9. She grew her hair down way past her waist and got 12 inches cut off for locks of love.
Well, yeah. See, unfortunately, I mean, Michael said there's problems with some of the bigger organizations. I mean, I don't know which ones to trust out there, because my kids actually did it. I mean, my kids are only 4 and a half and they don't really understand, but they kind of got it in their head that somebody had mentioned that they could donate their hair when they finally had it cut, and their hair grew out from, I think we like got their hair like a tiniest little trim around 1 year old when they were one or a little before, and then it hadn't been cut at all until just recently, so it was almost down to their butts. But they were so excited they wanted to give it to somebody, so it was their hair was donated,
and they have really pretty hair too.
Yeah, they have, you know, so they still have the blonde hair. Like, yeah. Mine used to be that color.
Really? That's a coveted color right there.
well, mine was actually brighter than theirs. There's pictures of me when I was a kid. It, not only was it platinum blonde, but it was curly.
Wow.
And then by the time I was 5, all of a sudden it straightened out and became this weird mousy color and never changed again. You know, like I said, I don't know. I don't even know which organization their hair went to. Hopefully it was a good one. But the idea is great. And I hope more people get on board with what Michael and his organization are doing. And not necessarily have to be tied to these silly regulations and, oh, you know. That was one of the things I drew from the conversation with him, was the fact that there's checkers out there that people actually go to see. Oh, is this registered with as a 501c3? And because he's not even registered, he doesn't even come up on the lists, which is a shame, because people like him, you know, and others like him are out there doing it for the right reasons, purely for the right reasons. They just want to help. They just don't want to jump through the hoops.
We should support that. Something else that's really important. Free aid. Stephanie Murphy came to the first Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and she's one of the active participants. And I believe she's like a director or something like that. I don't remember her exact title, but she's up there pretty high in the organization. And she was providing first aid if necessary at the first Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. And Free Aid always has a presence at Pork Fest, helping people out with Band-Aids and ointment for bug bites and just all the stuff that goes on with, you know, those type of events. So, really good program, helps a lot of people out when it's needed, and, you know, makes things a whole lot easier. And it's 100% strictly voluntary.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes, it is.
Why call the government to help you when you can have people like that?
Exactly. Well, thanks everybody for coming on the show. Thank you, Lisa, Jeremy, and Michael off in the distance. And then to all our listeners, for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.